Welcome back, Lexocrats. I'm Kendall Rice.
And I'm Grace Cho.
You're listening to Lesson 13, The Power to Push.
There are things in life worth waiting for.
And things so important that you can't bear to wait at all.
For those things, it helps to have a little push.
Of course, there are also times when it's bad to be pushy.
For better or worse, we've chosen 7 pushy vocab words for you in this lesson.
First word, catalyst.
You may know this word already from chemistry class.
A catalyst is a substance that speeds up a chemical reaction.
You add it to the ingredients you want to react with each other, and it makes them react faster.
The catalyst itself doesn't get used up in the reaction the same way the reactants do.
The concept from chemistry is what we often use the word catalyst to mean.
But we can also use it figuratively to mean anything that speeds up any process, movement, or goal. Example, please.
The assassination of Archduke Ferdinand was a catalyst for World War I.
This event may not have been the exclusive cause of the First World War, but it certainly helped start the war faster.
The word catalyst comes from 2 Greek words, kata and laein.
Kata means down, in a downward direction.
And laein means to loosen.
When you catalyze a process, then, you loosen the barriers that keep it from happening naturally and allow natural forces, like gravity, to set the process in motion.
Second word, coerce.
To coerce someone is to push him into doing something he doesn't want to do, typically using force or threats. For example,
pointing a gun at the storekeeper, the robber coerced him into handing over all the money in the cash register.
Yikes. In that situation, a dangerous physical force could break out at any moment. But the force doesn't always have to be physical. You could also have a situation like,
the girl coerced her boyfriend into obedience by threatening to break up with him if he didn't obey.
Sounds like you'd be better off if she did. Up to now, we've talked about coercing people, but you could also coerce things out of people.
In his hunger for evidence, the policeman coerced a confession out of the defendant by torturing him behind closed doors.
So the direct object of coerce can be either the person you're forcing or the thing you want to get from the person.
Coerce comes from 2 Latin words, a preposition and a verb.
Co means together, and arcere means to close up.
To coerce someone, then, is literally to shut him up inside a room, possibly with other people.
Honestly, I'm not sure why that word has to have co in it. That meaning of together doesn't seem very helpful here.
Sometimes a Latin prefix can act as an intensifier without donating any real meaning. Maybe this co is a grammatical morpheme and not a lexical one.
That would make sense. Officially, it's considered a lexical morpheme in this word, but I don't find that explanation very compelling.
You just used our third word, compel.
So I did. Compelling means persuasive, because compel means to force someone to do something.
Isn't that the same as coerce?
Just about. Both words are used to force people to do things, but coerce sounds harsher and more dangerous, while compel could be more cunning. Could we get an example of compel?
She didn't want to leave her hometown, but her father's new job in another state compelled her to move.
There's no coercion going on there. Her father's not some villain trying to steal something from her. It's just a situation that, as a side effect, makes her do something she'd rather not do.
So, compel does mean force, but it involves less direct, intentional force than coerce does.
Like coerce, though, compel comes from 2 Latin words, a preposition and a verb.
Com, of course, means together.
And pellere means to push, which makes it pretty much the star of this lesson, doesn't it?
That's right. There are lots of words in English that contain this root and have to do with pushing.
Any verb that ends in pel, for example. Impel.
To drive someone to do something.
Repel.
To push back.
Expel.
To push out, as a delinquent student might get pushed out of school.
Propel.
To push something forward.
And dispel.
To push something away, make it go away.
And this morpheme comes in other shapes, too. Sometimes it's pulse, as in the noun versions of compel.
Compulsion.
Impel.
Impulse.
Repel.
Repulsion. Also, repulse can be a verb just like repel.
Expel.
Expulsion.
And propel.
Propulsion.
For some reason, this doesn't seem to work for dispel.
No, there's no such word as dispulsion.
Weird. By the way, this pulse form of pel is the ancestor of our English word push. And pelere has one more form in peel.
That's where we get the word appeal, which can mean to beg or to be interesting. Either one of those would be attention-grabbing.
Appeal has a noun form in appellation, but this noun doesn't mean the same thing. Instead of begging or being interesting, appellation means name.
That sounds kind of random. What do names have to do with begging or being interesting?
Well, instead of trying to connect appellation directly to appeal, we should connect them all back to the original Latin verb appellere.
That app in the front is ad toward. So appellere would mean to drive someone towards some place.
Knowing that, we should be able to make sense of both appeal and appellation.
I see. Appeal can mean beg, which is a lot like pushing towards someone.
Or be interested, which drives someone's mind toward the interesting thing.
An appellation means name, which is a label that you drive your impression of something toward in your mind.
When I think of my lovely co-host, for example, all the impressions I have of her are pushed toward the word grace in my mind.
They're pushed, are they?
No need to get pushy. Finally, we should note that the noun appellation, that means name, has nothing to do with the Appalachians, a mountain range near the east coast of the United States. The spellings are completely different.
Noted. Fourth word, impel.
Impel? Didn't we just do that one?
We did compel, but impel came up.
I thought so. Well, we can talk a bit more about its roots and usage here then.
Just as compel is together plus push, impel is in plus push. To impel something is to push it in a certain direction.
To urge or drive it on. Could we have an example?
His bad grades impelled him to hire a tutor.
They didn't force him to, necessarily. No one held a gun to his head and compelled him to seek extra help, but his grades have pushed him to feel a certain way and make a decision that he thinks will be good for him. They haven't compelled him, but they've impelled him.
Fifth word, oblige.
This is a softer version of compel, in which the pushing comes from social pressures rather than force or threats. For example,
I'd rather not go to this morning's meeting, but my current project obliges me to go.
Ordinarily, this person wouldn't have to attend such a meeting, but the project she's currently working on requires her to attend this one. People are expecting her to be there because of her connection to the project.
If you're obliged to do something, you don't really want to do it, but you have to because people expect you to.
Sometimes, when we want to thank people very politely, we say, much obliged.
This may seem a rather unpleasant thing to say.
As in, now that you've helped me, I feel I have to do something for you, even though I don't want to. Thanks for making me feel this way, jerk.
But that's not what we mean when we say much obliged. What we want to emphasize is not our own feeling of being burdened by the other person's kindness, but our recognition that the kindness was so great and appreciated that it deserves to be returned.
That's right. Since I noticed the word oblige doesn't have pel in it, what are its roots?
As we so often see, oblige comes from two Latin roots, a preposition and a verb.
The preposition is ob, which means against, or in this case, to. Ob usually has the effect of making a word feel harsh or unpleasant.
And the verb is ligare, which means to bind. We see it in English words that have to do with tying things together.
Like our ligaments, the muscle tissues that hold our bones together.
Exactly. Combine ob to with ligare, to bind, and you get the idea that some duty has been tied to you.
Thanks to ob, that duty chafes against you. It's not something you want to do.
Certainly not. You're bound to do it.
And you know, I think I've heard a longer version of this word. Is there another morpheme you can add at the end?
Sure. If you want, you can add the grammatical suffix ate to turn oblige into obligate.
Ate turns words into verbs. Only oblige is already a verb, isn't it?
Actually, yes. It turns out there's not really any point in adding ate to oblige. Oblige and obligate mean the same thing.
As do their participle forms, obliged and obligated.
Though in that case, obligated makes the duty seem a shade more unpleasant than obliged does.
There's nothing about the suffix ate that should make obligated sound more unpleasant. Perhaps we feel the slight difference just because the word is longer.
Could be. Sixth word, propel.
Whoa, another pel word? Why didn't we just do them all together?
Good question. Probably because we're introducing this lesson's words in alphabetical order.
Compel, impel, oblige, propel. I suppose that makes sense.
To propel something, as we mentioned earlier, means to push it forward.
This could be physical pushing, the way an airplane's propellers help drive it forward.
Or it could be figurative, the way a motivational speech may propel you toward a goal.
Propel is also the name of a brand of fitness water, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to help you keep pushing forward when you don't feel like running anymore.
Does it work?
Maybe. I think it depends a lot on the runner.
For sure. Last word, precipitate.
Doesn't this word mean to fall down from the sky?
Like rain or snow? Yes, precipitate can mean fall down. That's why we refer to rain and snow as precipitation.
What's a word like that doing on a list about pushing?
Precipitate can also mean to cause. We're including it for the same reason we included catalyst.
You guys remember what a catalyst is, right?
It's something that helps cause something else to happen more easily. Catalyzing and precipitating are very similar, but while catalyzing is more like giving a little push to get the ball rolling, precipitating is like pushing the ball right over the cliff. Both involve causing, but precipitating is a more direct kind of causing.
Pushing a ball over a cliff is actually a pretty good way to think of precipitating. The word precipitate actually comes from Latin roots that suggest falling.
Pre means forward, and sipit is from caput, the Latin word for head.
To precipitate, then, is to fall head first.
Or, more transitively, to push someone and cause him to fall head first.
We call rain and snow precipitation because they fall from the sky.
Do they actually fall head first, though? Does a raindrop or a snowflake have a head?
Beats me. But the word certainly does make you think of falling.
Remember that the kata in catalyst meant down. And here we have another word for causing that means fall. It seems that the people who made these words thought of things that happen suddenly as happening in a downward direction.
That makes sense. Thanks to gravity, things move fastest when they're moving downward.
Yeah. Before we go to the quiz for this lesson, how about an example sentence for precipitate?
The governor's racist comments precipitated a riot throughout the city.
That wouldn't be good. And another?
The long famine was precipitated by years of drought.
Kind of ironic, right? A famine precipitated by a lack of precipitation.
That should help our listeners keep track of the different ways of precipitating.
Riots and famines are bad things. When precipitate means cause, are the situations it causes always bad?
Just about. You could use the word to cause something good, but you'd probably be doing it as a joke, since people expect the situation that comes after the word precipitate to be bad.
That makes sense. Falling headfirst is rarely a good thing.
Now for the quiz. We'll give you a situation, and you choose the word from this lesson that best fits that situation.
The words are catalyst, coerce, compel, impel,
oblige, propel, and precipitate.
Ready? A paddle pushes a boat through the water.
Propel. We use a paddle to push our boat forward.
A schoolyard bully steals the younger kid's lunch money, threatening to beat him up if he doesn't comply.
Coerce. When you threaten someone with force, it's like shutting that person in a tiny prison with you.
A book about dolphins prompts marine biologists all around the country to study dolphin species more closely.
Catalyst. Whatever caused the author to write that book may eventually have motivated the biologists to study dolphins on their own, but the book certainly helped speed that process along.
A woman asks a man to watch her dog while she's on vacation. He doesn't like animals much, but the woman is his friend, so he agrees.
Oblige. She's not forcing him to watch her dog, but because of a social expectation, he still feels tied to the task.
An office worker decides to start working overtime for no extra pay, sensing that he may be fired if he doesn't.
Compel or impel. Again, no one has forced this guy to stay later at the office, but he still feels pushed into doing it.
Compel would emphasize the pushiness of the situation, whereas impel would play up the pushing of the man's own feelings.
Thanks for listening, Lexicrats. We won't push you any further in this lesson.
But we hope you'll keep pushing yourselves to learn as many new words and morphemes as possible.
How well you use the English language depends entirely on how strongly you can motivate yourself.
You're in the driver's seat of your own vocabulary.
So keep your foot on that pedal and never stop driving.
Stay pushy, Lexicrats.
See you next time.